But as we prepare to study your word, that you will open up the scriptures to us. Bring forth your revelation, Lord God. Bring forth your revelation that we might receive your word and it would impart in us nuggets of truth that we can hold on to and that will help us press through in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come in and be our teacher today. Seal this time with your blood, Lord Jesus. I just am so grateful. I have so much. My heart is so full of gratitude for the opportunity we have to come together and learn of your word. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So, Romans chapter 12. We've been studying this chapter for a couple of weeks now, and when we pull out a chapter of the Word and we study it and we pull from it, it's important to remember the book as a whole. It's important that we remember the purpose of this letter. It's important that we remember the intent of the author and what he's trying to convey in his writings. And as I poured over this chapter and 1 Corinthians 12, as I poured over these verses, the Lord began to speak to me some things. And, you know, he reminded me, don't forget what came before. You know, Romans chapter 12 says, therefore, we have to remember to look at therefore. Therefore is there for a reason. And we need to find out what it's there for. And we look back in chapter 11, and chapter 11 is dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles and the grafting process. The grafting process of our Lord. And there are people in Rome during this time, and not only in Rome, but you read it as you study other books of the Bible, you see this constant division happening in these cities. The word of God has come. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ has come. The Savior, the one that we've been waiting thousands of years for, has come. He died. He rose again. He is our King. He is our Messiah. He is the one and the reason we will live in eternity with the Lord God Almighty. The promises throughout the Old Testament have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a hunger and a passion and a zeal and a fire with that information. And as it spreads throughout the countries, there's a purity of the word that must be held. It must be held. You cannot deviate from the word, from the purity of the word. But the enemy will always send in someone to bring division. And we can either allow that as an opportunity to refine us, to develop us, to purify us, to strengthen us as a unit, or it can split us down the middle. Some will go to the right and some will go to the left. So we have a merging of the Jews and the Gentiles, the Messianic believers, and we have the Gentiles who were, you know, just plain old sinners, born into sin, lived in sin, died in sin. But they all are under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the Judaizers that have come in and said, we want to bring you back under the law. We want to bring you under the circumcision. And we've studied that. We've discussed it. So Paul just got through sharing that. Here he goes into the next section of his letter to the people of Rome. And he moves into talking about the gifts he's given. First, he talks about bringing unity in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about a false unity. I'm talking about the true unity of the Lord Jesus Christ, born out of his sacrifice and lived through the Holy Spirit. Because when he ascended, the Holy Spirit came. So here we have, there's something new that's happening in the body of Christ. The introduction of the Holy Spirit. And when you look up the word spiritual, you see that it was not in the Word of God until Pentecost. Because that's when the Holy Spirit was released into the earth. That's when the Holy Spirit was released into the people of God. We could not have contained the Holy Spirit were it not for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's holiness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And he's here to teach us, to train us, to develop us. He's here to comfort us, to strengthen us. He's here to give us what we need to live a life of holiness. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it was today. We say, well, it'd be much easier to follow God, you know, if we didn't have all this other stuff happening. The introduction of technology, the introduction of the conveniences of modern life, the introduction of, you know, the 40-hour work week, the introduction of the 80-hour work week. It would just be so much easier. I could spend all my time focusing on God. Well, they also didn't have the Word of God written out 2,000 years ago. It was in process. And it took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for it to finally come to a place where there would be a Bible in every church, let alone a Bible in every home. And today we have several Bibles in our home. We have the Bible on our devices, our phones, our iPads, our Kindles, on the computer. We have access to study tools they didn't have back then. So I'm not exactly sure it would be easier. The introduction of the Holy Spirit into our lives brings with him the ability to fulfill our purpose in life, the ability to fulfill the call that God has placed on our life. He is saying, I do not want you to fight over whether you are Jew or Gentile or whether you're circumcised or not. You are all one in Christ. Here we have him talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of ministry. In Romans, you know what, let's start at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And he tells us that we're each members of one body. We have various gifts to use for the edification of the body. We're each members of one body with various gifts to be used for the edification of the body. Our gifts are not to be used as a place of holding it over someone's head. our gifts should not bring division between us. Our gifts should not be something that we flaunt. Our gifts, whatever gift He has given to each one of us, it needs to be held onto and treasured. And it needs to be used with the understanding that that gift was given to us to edify the body of Christ. Whatever that gift is, Paul talks in Romans 12. He talks about the members of the body and how important each member is. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the members of the body and how important each member, no matter how big or small, is to the body of Christ as a whole. Can the eye say, I don't need the foot? No. No member is more important or less important than another. Even those that we see as insignificant. Why do I have this? Why do I have an earlobe? Is it so I can just tug on it when I'm nervous? What is the purpose? Why have I been given the gift I've been given? Why wasn't I given a gift they were given? And Paul further explains why each person has the gift that they have. In Romans 12, verse 6. Actually, let's read Romans 12. Let's start from the beginning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And he goes on in his instructions of how we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And that word grace is a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word. Because that word grace, and it's the same word used as in Romans 12:3, it's the divine ability and capacity due to the grace of God. It's a divine ability and capacity to do something according to the grace of God. Even the gifts He's given us, He had to give us the grace to do those gifts, to function in those gifts. Even the gifts He's given us, even the gifts that He imparted to us, He has given each of us the grace we needed to function in that capacity. So if we are to be a prophet, He's given us the grace to function in that capacity. If we're to be a teacher, He's given us the grace, the ability to function as a teacher. If it's a gift of service, He's given us the grace we needed to function in that capacity. If we have somebody who has been gifted with service, and they hop up and decide they want to be a prophet, they're going to fall on their face time and time again. Because there is a training process that you have to go through, a refining process that you have to go to in order to function as the member of the body of Christ that you've been created to function in. The heart can't just jump out of your chest and decide, I think I'm going to be the liver. I think I'm just going to plop right down here and I'm going to be the liver and function as the liver. If they did a transplant and put a heart in place of a liver, it's not going to work, and vice versa. Because it's been created to function as a heart, to pump our blood through our body, to pump oxygen through our body, all the way out to our toes and our fingertips and our earlobes. That's what the heart has been created to do. And if the heart, if someone takes the heart and puts it in anywhere else in the body, it is not going to function, and that person will die. We have been created to function as a particular member of the body of Christ. We have been created by the hand of God to function in a particular capacity in the body of Christ. And if we step outside that function, not only are we stepping outside of our abilities, we're going to incur frustration, we're going to incur resentment, but we are going against the will of God for our lives. And we will not succeed. There are some people that are natural born leaders. They, wherever they go, it's not that they take charge. It's that they function as a leader. There's a gifting as a leader. And wherever they go, people are drawn to them for direction. People are drawn to them for leadership. And when crisis comes, they rise up and they can make those hard decisions, those quick decisions, because they can see the big picture, assess the situation, and bring a resolution. Or they can set plans in motion to accomplish a goal. There is something about a leader that draws people to them, to help them function in the capacity that they've been created to function. God creates within each of us a certain ability, and we are to function in that capacity. There's certain people, they're very analytical people, they make very good researchers, because they can process information. There's certain people that have been created, they're very empathetic. They're sensing people. And they can go and they can be comforters. They can be encouragers. They can strengthen people. They make very good intercessors. Because they can feel the Holy Spirit and the move of God in a very unique way. God has given to each a measure of grace, the ability, the capacity to function within the body of Christ. And when we step outside those boundaries, we end up in chaos. and it affects the body as a whole. We are living in a time where God is refining us, and he is preparing us for something. He is preparing us to rise up out of this year a new breed of believers. And if we don't come to a place where we can function in the capacity that God has created us to, we're going to be stumbling around at the end of this year. In Romans 1:11, Paul, in his intro, his introduction to them, he says, I long to see you that I might impart into you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. And then he spends 11 chapters, which we've studied in great detail, before he gets to the part about the spiritual gifts. He wants to actually come and lay hands on them because he was an apostle and impart to them the spiritual gifts that they've been created to carry. He's got to iron out some conflict that's been happening. That's why the letter went on ahead of him. And once they get this stuff ironed out, these gaps, these stoppages, they can prepare to function as a member of the body of Christ. Paul tells us that what affects one member of the body of Christ affects the body of Christ as a whole. Karen and I were talking about this just yesterday, and we were talking, you know, and it's true. You get a hangnail, and you know you have a hangnail. Your entire body knows you have a hangnail. You end up doing things in a way to keep from hitting that hangnail. In a paper cut, it can send your whole body into chaos, you know? Because that thing, it usually swells. It usually gets a little bit of infection. Every time you go to pick up a paper, you're reminded of it. Your entire body shivers over this little tiny paper cut. And it just seems it affects the body as a whole. One little thing. It affects the body as a whole. Now our skin has extra receptors on them. And that's why when we get a paper cut, it's so painful. It's all of the extra nerve endings we have on our extremities to protect us. But consider that for a moment. Our skin, which we don't see as something as important as our heart, protects everything in the body. It protects our muscles, our nerves, our blood vessels. It protects us. So Paul says, I long to see that I can impart into you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Established into what? Established into who you have been created to be established. 1 Peter 2:5. Now this word spiritual, I told you, did not appear until Pentecost. You don't see this word in the Bible until Pentecost. Because that's the release of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5 says, Peter says that they're to be lively stones built up as a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spirited sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are to be a spiritual house. We are to be as lively stones built up, a spiritual house and holy priesthood. That's what God is calling us to be. Each member is a stone building a house of God, lively, and holy priesthood. Galatians 5:16 tells us, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, we are to strive to attain the spiritual state of the soul. Once we attain it, we must maintain it. If we do not strive to attain the spiritual state of the soul on an ongoing basis, that's the maintenance, we will stumble. And when one member of the body stumbles, it affects the whole. This here team, we're a whole. We're a unit. The work we do, we're a unit. And when something affects one of you, it affects us all. Now, because we're intercessors, the beauty of our calling is we come together on this call and we pray for one another. And what's happened? It's drawn us close together. It's created intimacy. It's created friendship. It's created a love that when we see each other, our spirits connect before our eyes do. Our spirits connect before we embrace. There is a spiritual connection that takes place because we have come together day in and day out. And we've prayed. We've prayed for one another. We've prayed for those that are sick. We pray for those that are in difficult times. We pray for those that are struggling. We pray for our members that are having difficulty. Why? Because it affects the whole. First Corinthians 3:1-3, Paul tells the Corinthians that they are yet babes, and he's longing to come and feed them the meat, but they have not attained a place in God where they can bear it. How does Paul know this? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians, and this talks about the unity of the body. This talks about the unity. And there's a big picture here because God is refining the church in this hour. He's refining us in this hour. And a new breed of believers is going to arise. And if we don't come to a place where we can set aside things and be ready to hold on to the meat, hold on to the spiritual sense of our soul, we are going to stumble. We are going to fall. There is something that is taking place in the spirit realm this year that we've got to grab hold of. Remember what Mom told us. Remember when she came on Tuesday and talked to us. Preparing ourselves for what's coming. Because the refining has begun. And if we haven't embraced it, and if we aren't striving, like Galatians 5 says, every day to maintain it, we will stumble. We will fall. And I have to tell you, it will affect us all. If one of us stumbles, it will affect us all. That's why when I come on this call, that's why when we do these lessons, it's why we go so deep. And I believe that's why God is giving the revelation and the instructions he's giving us, because he's saying, I want you all ready for what's coming. You have fought the good fight. You have run the race. And I want you to fulfill the call that I've placed within each of you. I want you to finish this race together. I brought you together for a reason. And I want you to finish the race together. Embrace the refining. Let it unite you. Prepare for the meat. Because I'm telling you, he's giving us meat today. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul is telling the Corinthians, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He's saying to them, if you've got envying and strife and division, you are walking as carnal men, not in the spirit. And if you are not walking in the spirit, if you are walking as carnal men, that means living in the flesh, you will only be fed milk. And most of the church that is sitting in the pews today are still feeding on milk. Very few get the meat. Very few want the meat. Because once you get the meat, you are held responsible for the meat you've been given. God is calling us in this hour to put down the milk and to pick up the fork and eat the meat he's giving us. Because the refining has begun. And the new breed of believers that is going to come out of this year, they are going to walk according to the Spirit. Whether they go to the right or to the left, they will go by the Spirit. Anything that interferes with that is carnal. Envying and strife and division cause blockages. This morning I was preparing. I already told John the story because it really happened. This morning I'm preparing for the lesson and I get up early and I was preparing. I was mulling over this scripture. I had to go to the little girl's room. And when I flushed the toilet, I heard the bubble. And there was no drain. And I look in my shower, and here comes the water. And I go to the bathtub, and water's coming out the bathtub. And it's all like soapy water because I ran my dishwasher last night. So it's all that soapy water. And so my main drain was plugged. So I had to go and get, and I got this little tool I got from Lowe's. And it's this little thing. And you put the hose on the end, and you screw it on, and you stuff it down your main drain, and you turn on the water. And the water fills this rubber balloon, and it's very, very thick. It's a very hard rubber. It fills this balloon until enough pressure builds up that it can shoot right at the blockage at the end of it and clear the path. And then all the water drains. You just pull it out, and all the water drains. It's a great little tool. It cost me less than $15, and it saved me from bringing out a plumber. I've got an old house. I got roots in my pipes. Well, at least trying to penetrate my pipes. But they're old mature trees. And the roots have spread, and these aren't even productive roots. The roots that you can cut out and no one will notice. And you see, we're coming to a time, and I know there's going to be a time. I'm going to have to bring out a plumber to dig up my yard and cut up all those roots. Because they're going to continue to be a problem. They're going to continue to cause a stoppage that's going to bring the filth that you've been trying to flush out of your house back up into your home. This year is a year of refining of God's people. And he's giving us a period of time to grab hold of the meat he's giving us in this hour and to really consume it. Instead of fighting it, instead of creating strife, instead of giving in to frustration, we need to humble ourselves and submit to what God is doing in our lives. Because toward the end of this year, the plumber is coming. And he's going to dig up our yard and cut off those roots. Those roots of envying. Those roots of bitterness. Those roots of carnality. Those roots that cause us to walk in the flesh. And it is not going to be pleasant. He's going to do it in each one of us. We can lay it down now, or he's going to dig it up later. We can come to him and fall on our face today and say, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Go down there. Take your Holy Spirit. Just go deep inside of me and tear up those roots that are not of you, those roots that are not producing fruit, those roots that are destructive and create blockages, those roots that cause a blockage in me, a blockage in the ministry, a blockage in the body of Christ. Have your way in me and tear up, grind up those roots. Grind them up so you don't have to rip me apart at the end of this road. He wants us to lay down our flesh. He wants us to submit to the affliction, submit to the leadership, submit to the working of his Holy Spirit, submit to him in all things, and learn how to walk and maintain a life in the Spirit so we can continue to feed on his meat. His meat. That's what brings forth the revelation of God. That's what brings forth a deep understanding of who God is. That's what brings you into the Holy of Holies. That's what brings you into the intimacy of God. The reason Jesus died on the cross, his blood was shed for us, and he rose again, was not just so we could enter the gates of heaven, so that we could have intimacy with him, so that he could tear down the veil that stood between the Holy of Holies. Amen. And beckon us in. Draw us in to the holy place where we experience true intimacy. In this place, there's not bitterness, there's not envying, there's not strife. In this place, we can function as a body many members of one body with many gifts, granted the grace to function in the gift we've been given. In Romans 12:6, this word gifts, this denotes extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. That word gifts is a powerful thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's granted. It's imparted through divine grace and functioning in our souls by the Holy Spirit. Whatever gifts He's given us, He, the Holy Spirit, functions through us with those gifts. See, it's not us, it's Him. We are only the vessel. And when we clear all the blockages, we get rid of all the roots and all the garbage that have been packed in there. We can be an open vessel flowing. He deposits and we give out. We use them for the edification and the glorification of our Lord. The edification and the building up of the church, the body of Christ. That's the purpose of those gifts. Some people get really offended because God has given certain gifts to certain people and they don't have that gift. They really do. They get hurt. Why didn't you give me that gift, Lord? I would rather be the teacher. I would rather be the servant. Because He created you to function a certain way. And He has only given you the grace to function the way He's created you to. There is a book called Self-Esteem, a Gift from God. And this isn't about pride. This is about appreciating who you are as God created you. For you to see what your gifts are, to see even what your personality type is, and gain an appreciation for the person God created you to be. Coming to understand and really embrace and face who you are in God brings forth a freedom to function in the fullness of the capacity He's created you to function in. First Corinthians 12:4-6. Let's start at 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but by the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects. But the same God who works all things in all persons. Whatever gift you've been given has been given to you by God. It's the same Lord that gave you your gift that gave your brother his. You can only function in that gift according to the Holy Spirit and according to the grace God has given you to function in that capacity. This word varieties is actually the same word. This word varieties, he says there's variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects. The King James Version says a variety of gifts. nope, sorry. King James Version says diversity of gifts, difference of administrations, and diversities of operations. But that word is all means the same. And what that word means, varieties, is through or reaching across and making a personal choice. Through or reaching across and making a personal choice. Now, when we first hear that, we might think, oh, so we can survey the landscape of functions in the church and pick which one we want to do. But that's not what that word means. What that means is it's God's choice to give sovereign endowments of grace to his people so they can reach out across to others as his hand extended to them. God has given us a variety of gifts so that we can reach across as his hand extended to them. Whatever gift he's given us, it's to be used to reach out and touch others. In verse 4, he says it's a variety of gifts. This word gifts is charisma. It's spiritual gifts. In the technical Pauline sense, it's extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ, to this reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. That's what that word means. In verse 5, it's varieties of ministries. The King James says differences of administrations. This word ministries, it's active service, done with a willing and voluntary attitude. It's for the believer, this specifically refers to empowered service guided by faith. So whether you have been in gifted, oh, let me go to the third one, variety of effects. That word effects means it's focusing on the result of God's energy or power in people living in his faith. In other words, the working of signs and wonders. So God has given each of us the gifts. He hand-picked you to carry that gift. So whether you're gifted in service, whether you're gifted in teaching, whether you're gifted in ministry, whether you're gifted in signs and wonders, and we have all aspects of this here in our ministry. We've got Cedarwood, which is gifts of service and ministry. We've got GOE and Joel's Army, which we see signs and wonders take place. Distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls. Whichever gift you have been granted, embrace it. Because at the end of this year, at the end of this refining process, God is going to call you to arise and function in the fullness of your gifting. And if you haven't allowed him to root out the blockages, root out, tear up those roots, you haven't allowed him to clean you out. And when I say you, I say we. If we have not allowed him to really refine us, to do the depth of work he is longing to do in us, we won't be able to function in the position he handpicked us to function in. I know people that say, I don't want to be in the front, I want to be in the back, I want to be, in the prayer closet. That's all they want to do. God has given them the grace for those long hours in the prayer closet. A person who functions in the gift of service, they go in the prayer closet for an hour and they come out exhausted. A person who's been created to be an intercessor goes into the prayer closet for an hour, two, or three, and they come out exhilarated because they're functioning in the capacity that God has created them to function in. A person who's been called to teach will get up and teach, and God will bring forth a message that will speak to the people there. A person who has not been actually created to teach will get up and they'll be sick for hours before they have to even get up there. And even though they have a message that they have to deliver that day, they're going to feel sick getting up there. You know, we have people that get up at the gathering and they share because they've done research. But just the delivery, preparing to get up there, having to do the delivery, makes them so nervous and so sick leading up to it. And when they're done, they're just, okay, I made it. Because they haven't been created for that. They're doing it in obedience as a researcher to help the intercessors move to the next level and prepare. And out of love, they do it, and they're a good researcher. But they haven't been created to be in that position day in and day out. They haven't been given the grace to endure it. And when you're facing, and when God has called you to stand in a position like that, you get hit. You take the blows for the people that work behind the scenes. But God gives you the grace to take those blows. God gives us the grace to be and to do and to function as a member of the body of Christ, only in the capacity he's created us to function in. And we have got to embrace where he wants us. Sometimes he'll put us in a position, and it's a training position, because he's trying to work stuff out of us. He'll put us in a position we never thought we'd be in. And there's a purpose for it. Embrace the purpose for where we are today. And ask, Lord, why am I here today? What are you trying to teach me? It's just like the little kid that goes over. Two kids, one, they both got pitchforks, and they're over there mucking the stalls, and they're up to their waist in horse manure. One kid is trudging through it, and the other kid, happy as a lark. Well, if there's this much manure, there's got to be a horse in here somewhere. Because it's just, it's attitude. It's heart. It's purpose. Finding what God is doing in you today to prepare you to be the person he's created you to be, and allowing him to clear out that which is not of him. Allowing you, he's given us a grace that he's really going to be pressing. The refining has begun. And the pressing is going to get greater and greater and greater. Because he's calling us to higher standards and he wants us to put down the milk and start consuming the meat on a daily basis. We are all mature enough. We have all been walking with him long enough. We have all had the teachings necessary to bring us here. We had years of mom's intense teaching on intimacy with God and understanding what that intimacy with God is about draws us into the bridal chamber, draws us into the Holy of Holies, draws us into that place of oneness with him. We have studied Philippians and James and Romans, the covenant. And we have learned what God is trying to teach us in this hour, the refining. We've had years of preparation. God is calling us to account. The Lord told me 2018 was a year of refining that would bring forth a new breed of believers. Those believers are those that will carry the Melchizedek priesthood. Those are the ones God will impart the depth of understanding, of revelation, that will walk in an intimacy with God like never before. That is why the refining has to take place. That is why it's love on his part. It's love. He disciplines us because he loves us. He corrects us because he loves us. And he knows what he's created us to be. He's hand-chosen us to walk in this call. He's hand-picked us. And whatever your function is in this ministry, I encourage you, embrace your function. Embrace your function. And let God use you because he's hand-chosen you. Let him do the deep work. I know, I just keep saying it because I know. I see. I see the potential. I see it. Eat your handpicked. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your gifts. I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to impart divine gifts into us. I thank you that we can function in a capacity we don't even understand yet. You said the things that you see me do, you shall do and greater. And that's where you're calling us to walk in this hour where we will function. Because we have the Holy Spirit in a way we have yet to experience. In a capacity we have yet to walk in. You have something prepared, ready, waiting for each of us. Help us be ready for it. Help us, Lord. Help us be ready. Help us be ready. The greatest heartache thing that would break your heart, Lord, is if we weren't ready to receive of it. Prepare us. Give us the grace for the preparation. As you refine us, give us the grace, Lord God, that we need for that refining. We are our many members of one body, the body of Christ. Let us rise up and function the way you've created us to function, Lord. Let us walk in the fullness of what you've created us to walk in. That is my heart's cry. That is my heart's cry. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I just thank you for your great love. I thank you. In your precious name. Amen.